Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. South Dakota Public Broadcasting asks about the future of faith in South Dakota during a series of conversations. We've talked to people about finding God and leaving religion. We've asked about new faith communities in the state and bringing up the next generation of faith leaders. You can find all those conversations online at listen.sdpb.org. Use Future of Faith in the search bar there. Rob Lone is president of Vantage Point 3 and co-author of the book, Deep Mentoring, Guiding Others on Their Leadership Journey. And he joins us on the phone now for our Future of Faith series. Rob Lone, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Lori. Can you hear me all right?
I absolutely can. Are you good on your end too?
Yeah. Yeah, good to hear your voice.
One of the things you've been asking people about is their personal faith experiences. And if you can go back to when you were a child or a teenager or whenever you sort of discovered faith, what are some of those earliest memories that you have that maybe even at the time you didn't realize were related to faith, but now as an adult you see that more clearly?
Sure. Immediately when you ask that, I think of first, I grew up on the East Coast in Philadelphia, and in my summers, I would spend 8 to 10 weeks down at the shore in Ocean City, New Jersey, at my great-grandmother's house. Mm-hmm. And it was a sweet little woman from Scotland, about 5 feet tall, and my Nana. And we would, some of the key things I remember is just the way she had come to faith very, very firsthand on her own as an adult. And so memories of her on Sunday mornings praying, you have to have the visual a little bit with her.
Yeah.
So she would have been a woman about 5'10", but she had rickets as a kid. So her knees and her ankles were just bent to bone.
Oh.
And so she would sit and have to have a stool on any chair that she sat on. And I can see her holding her Bible. And on one of those summer days as a 4 or 5 year old, I can recall that late at night seeing her, a light in her room. I would sleep on the couch in that room. And early on, I can remember seeing a light, and I went to my mom's room and I said, Nana's got a visitor. And as I, she goes, well, let's go see who this visitor is. And so we walked through the living room and we peeked in to the, into her room. She kind of had a Princess Leia thing going on, generally speaking, with her hair.
Yeah.
And so just on top. So I never knew until that moment that she had long hair.
Oh,
and we peeked in the window and she was on her knees and her hair just draped over those bowed calves. And she was praying for Robbie and for Caroline, who was my younger sister. There would be 20 of us, great grandchildren. And we were the two oldest. And so I just think of the way, and that's one thing, Lori, that is, I don't know everything that moment did for me exactly.
Right.
But those things stick and they shape. And she came to all those things not easily. And so for someone that grew up around faith, the great challenge of my life is not to live my faith by borrowed convictions or secondhand experiences. And that continues now at 50. There's little ways that I continue to hear Nana and that challenge of her life. So
yeah.
That's one of the things that comes to my mind. Sorry.
That's a remarkable story. And the work that you do, now I'm familiar with your company and have done, some leadership or some, spiritual development coursework through Vantage Point 3, which is why I invited you here, because still, it's been years since I did that first course and I'm still unpacking some of the things that, and the relationships are lifelong. How do you explain the work that you do to people who are new to the company itself?
Yeah. Well, I think where I lead with is letting folks know that we've been grabbed as an organization over the last 20 years by a need for the deepening of God's people, that there's just being wide awake in North America leads you to a certain pace and a way of living that if you're not intentional, there's a certain superficiality that just characterizes everything, the way we go at our lives. And so what we're doing is in many ways helping adults, men and women, discover more deeply who's God, who they are, and what are they to do with their life. And so we have these extended conversations or processes, one of which you went through that at the time was probably called Emerging Leaders, a sort of a 6 to 8 month process in a group of people, adults. It's got a fair amount of homework, et cetera, where you just kind of gather around three primary questions. Those questions of who's God, so questions of intimacy with God. Secondly, questions of identity, which ultimately lead to questions of community. Who am I? Mm-hmm. And then thirdly, what am I to do with life? What is, you know, given what I know and what I'm discovering about the world, who God is and what he has in my life, questions of responsibility, right? And being kind of sent into the world, whether you're a, you know, school teacher or insurance agent or stay-at-home dad or pastor in a local church, et cetera. And so what we've developed is these processes, learning processes that are really extended conversations around those three questions in particular. And and so we'll work with, in any given year, 80 to 100 communities, most of which are churches, but we work with the leaders that are simply looking for ways to develop their people and leaders from a Christian perspective. And so we spend time with the leaders, helping them understand how the curriculum, the process, and one more thing I would add is we're really wanting to create person-centered processes instead of content-centered. And so they're not trying to master the material. It's really the group of people looking to help one another in the development in their own lives, whether they're 25, 45, 65, or 85 for that matter. So,
yeah. One of the parts of that process that is so ingrained, and in the book that you wrote about deep mentoring too, is this idea of mentoring and coming alongside other people who are part of this journey. Talk a little bit about intentional mentoring in that sense versus just gathering and having a regular Bible study, for example, or having coffee on a Sunday morning. What's the difference between doing those important things and really being intentional about mentoring?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think there is certainly some informal elements that you speak of that, it's not a word that's often used, but we're very mentored people. Like, culture is a primary mentor in our lives, right? Shapes us in ways we have no idea what we're doing, but we don't realize that till well into adulthood, how shaped we've been by the sets of by the culture, but then also just our relationships. But, I think within our process, what we want to point out is the need for some greater intentionality, a way to pass on, because ultimately, I think the Christian faith is transmitted life upon life. It's far more caught than it is taught, but yet there's still a craft to it, right? It requires an apprenticeship, whether we use any of that language. It's how we learn the deepest sort of lessons of life and things of life. And so to a mentor of mine, a guy that founded Regent College up in Vancouver, British Columbia, he said one time, he's 98 now, he said, "We got maps and map makers ad nauseum in the church in North America, and what we need are a few more mountain guides, men and women who have been there ahead of us and are willing to sort of walk intentionally with us." And I think that captures a little bit of the impulse and the core of it, and it points to how much of our development, our developing people, often whether it's leadership development or it's discipleship in a church or a small group, a lot of it can lack an interpersonal element. It kind of gets reduced to telling one another or just doing things together. And we live very much in this culture of do and culture of tell. And we long, I think, for something that's a little more interpersonal, intentional. I'll even use the word almost customized. I think that is perhaps a little, I like the word particularized, that, you know, something in which we are noticed uniquely, the way that so often pops up in the life of Jesus, where he takes these moments and, you know, he picks people out of the crowd. Well, there's something about that that is about how we're formed and developed. And so I would use the word mentoring, Lori, to, you know, whether it's over a cup of coffee or it's in a triad, or even sometimes I think there, some of our small groups, what would certainly develop them a little bit more is to have a little bit more of a mentoring attention. They're like mentoring groups, peer mentoring groups, but they have some intentionality and to them, in which, you know, I'm assuming that God's already doing something in this group and or in this person's life. And so we're what we gather together in these mentoring relationships is primarily to pay attention to our lives, what's already being done. And it's a little less, we got to make something happen in somebody's life, and a little more of inviting a certain sort of attention first, what might already be going on.
When we look at the future of faith, and it seems to me, and correct me if I've got this, you know, twisted or wrong in any way, but one of the things that you consistently bring to the table is that thoughtfulness and that intentionality and addressing that pace. Our society is moving faster and faster, and sometimes it's, you know, it's a, you know, a YouTube or a TED Talk or, you know, something that you can fit into a very concise, concise sort of package. But there's also an opportunity to spend that deep, deep relational time, that deep time of study. You don't apologize for that.
No. that's right. And we can, I'm watching the TED Talks and the YouTubes. And so there is a certain sort of, obviously there's an overly informedness that we're getting, clobbered with. But I think there is this basic human need that we just have this need, and I want to use the word recognized or seen, not in trophy ceremony sorts of ways, but rather just people seeing us as human beings. We're not a number or social security number, or I'm not a demographic that just fits in the J. Crew sort of customer profile, but rather in a way that unique. I mean, I have a view that we are all very, very unique people. Admittedly, there are some of us that remind us of that more than others,
right?
But there is this uniqueness. And so noticing people uniquely, slowing the pace down, I mean, you don't do that in a rush, right? There's that, what's that, Baron von Hugel, who's a spiritual director in the 19th century, that he just basically said, nothing good has ever come in the middle of a stampede. And we have to be able to pull people aside and kind of step out of the rush. And one of the key elements that I want to point out is this, just this need to be seen at all different levels of development. So whether my daughter at 5 has a way of unapologetically saying, look at me, look at me, look at me, that's just adorable and reminds us of just that hunger, to my dad at 60, 10 years ago, right after he had a heart attack. And you could just sense, I need a space and a place for you to notice me. Because I just went through one of the most... the most significant thing of my adulthood, and I need to sort it out. And it isn't given to YouTube videos and TED Talks, the hunger we have there. And so I think those things are all good and inspiring and clarifying, but without places of dialogue and real noticing of one another. I think we're liable to end up just full and flat with just so much information, or, you know, polarized, right? Because that's the train tracks we're being given right now. Is this these sort of echo chambers we each end up in, and instead, when we get noticed uniquely, Saul Bellow, he says we need to be first class noticers of others, and I think it's that thing that you're talking about, Lori, that is in the middle of whatever we're doing as faith communities or other, that we could just use businesses, right? We could use huge dose of saying that it doesn't quite fit in the hyper productivity that and do everything faster ethos that is kind of our mother tongue, I think, as North Americans.
Yeah. So. Well, Rob Lone, we'll put a link up to Vantage Point 3 on our website at listen.sdpb.org. The book is called Deep Mentoring, Guiding Others on Their Leadership Journey. And Rob, I think In the Moment would not be the show that it is if I hadn't those years ago sat and done that work through your program as well. So much of what you say resonates with the depth of conversation that we strive to have here on the show as well. So thank you personally as well.
Yeah, thanks, Lori. Thanks for being one of those... first-class noticers.